1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Thanks a lot. Coming up, we're going to have Blake Brunier. We're going to talk high school sports, some NFL too. That's before we do that, I'm going to get you a couple of notes here. John Morant, yesterday, really no surprise here, named the OVC Player of the Week for the sixth time this season. Averaged 33.5 points, 10.5 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 58% from the field, 50% from three-point range, 96% at the line. Set an OVC record, making 21 of 21 free throws. That's the most in a game without a miss, 3 off the NCAA record. He also tied Chad Townsend for the most single-season assists, 283, with 12 games at minimum remaining. So, he's having a pretty good year. The Player of the Week is Ja Morant. The Newcomer of the Week, Ty Williford. We saw enough of that dude. 33 points against the Racers. That helped him earn that honor. And then we'll see this guy on Thursday, Nick Mazinski. 6'11", really good freshman for Belmont. He is your Freshman of the Week. Also yesterday, it was announced, we'd known this for a little while, but officially announced yesterday that Daquan Smith taking a medical redshirt. It had some ankle surgery. Didn't really get enough playing time to warrant him getting the year. So taking away from him. So he'll medically redshirt. He's able to do that. They'll document it. So he'll be back, as will Anthony Smith, who's taking a medical redshirt next year. So next season, when you add Matthew Smith, one of our recruits, there'll be 3 Smiths on the roster next year. Thank you, Coach McMahon, for making life a living hell for me. But we'll get through that. I've already had fun with Matt on that one. Now, Murray State yesterday did get 9 points in the AP poll. That's the same number as last week. However, some other teams didn't get as many, so they moved up 2 spots to number 34. And also, they picked up a couple of points in the coaches' poll for the first time. They're going to crack the top 25. It'll probably take 2 wins this week, 2 wins next week, and then, of course, a few teams losing ahead of them. That's the earliest I can see them cracking the top 25, but you never know. All right, that had you caught up with everything that we have. Let's bring in Blake Brunier and talk a lot of, well, we're going to talk high school sports, a lot of that coming up, but go ahead. I'm going to leave for 10 minutes and let you talk about how your Saints got screwed. So go ahead.
Let's just not harp on it. You can talk with Ed about it. I'm sure he has just as much to say about it as I do.
I don't want to talk with Ed about it. Ed doesn't care.
I've seen multiple angles of the play, and it still just baffles my mind how, you know, obviously blatant the pass interference was in the game with no flag. But it happens, you know. Missed calls happen in every game. There were several missed calls throughout the game. Same guy had pass interference earlier in the game, and it was a 3rd and 7 for the Saints, and they didn't call him on it. Rams fans could argue that the Saints had a couple of face mask penalties that didn't go their way. But at the end of the day, you know, we had the ball in overtime. Breeze got an interception, got hit in the face on that throw. So, again, another possible missed call. Just saw a video just about 10 minutes ago of a fan's video of that play, the defensive pass interference play. And if you look at the video, Michael Thomas is being held in the middle of the field, too. So they could have called defensive holding as well. So there's a lot of things that went on in that play. And just, we got to move on.
Did that person have expressed written permission from NFL properties to post that video?
Probably not, but I mean, it's out there now. And you know,
you can't keep that from happening these days.
Thomas is full on just being grabbed in the middle of the field. And yeah.
Early on in social media, they tried to stop that stuff, and then it's like, we can't. So
yeah,
they don't
impossible.
Even do it anymore.
Well, congrats to the Rams. Go Patriots in the Super Bowl.
All right. So I don't know hardly any. My youngest grandson, he likes the Patriots. He's Mr. Front Runner. Whoever the front runner is, that's who he is. So, yeah, he's going for them. And now you, and that's by default.
Well, that's because as the rest of Houdat Nation, more than likely we're all rooting for the Patriots because. Yeah, forget the Saints, man, or forget the Rams. Let's just pretend like that didn't happen, and okay. We'll move on to next year. I saw reports that came out where they released the rule book and talking about the commissioner can change outcomes, and I'm like, you're living in a fantasy world if you think that's going to happen. If anything, what this is going to do is this is going to change a rule where those kind of plays will be reviewable.
They need to do that.
I don't know if I want that, though, because, you know, your idea, I kind of like your idea. Your idea of one flag, if you get it right, you get it back. You get it right, so you can challenge 50 times in a game if you get it right.
As long as you're right.
But the second you get it wrong, it's done. But the idea of just making these plays reviewable, you know, I almost would rather them do it like the college game does, where, you know, they have the targeting calls and stuff like that.
Right.
I'd like for them to be able to buzz down from the booth and say, hey, y'all guys missed something there. Check this out.
I like that, too. I don't have any
problem. I would like to have one official in the booth up top that just kind of watches the game. And I guarantee you he would have buzzed down on that, like, hey, guys, I'm looking at the video there. You need to check this one out.
There you go. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Because I don't want it to be challengeable, because then you might have a five-hour game.
You could, but if that shows you're missing a lot of calls. If they're,
yeah.
I mean, it does show.
Well, I mean,
that.
You look at the game with the Chiefs and the Patriots. They had like three reviews in a matter of like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I mean, and they review automatically these turnovers and stuff like that. And you know, the Edelman call. A lot of Chiefs fans are up in arms about that because Edelman muffed a punt. But in reality, you go back and watch the video, and there's no evidence that he did or didn't touch the ball. So then Chiefs fans are like, well, you called it a muff on the field, it should stand, but now you're reversing it, but we can't tell if he touched it or not, so we should go with the call on the field. Referees have a big impact on games, and you know, there's really no way we can prevent that. It's just part of the NFL.
Well, there is no review in high school sports yet as far as video, and because of money, I don't see that forthcoming anytime soon.
There's also no shot clock.
There is no shot clock. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but let's start with the most accomplished team among our high school teams over the last week, and that is the Murray High girls. And honestly, if you told me that they would roll through as they have at 17-2 and basically go unchallenged except for the first quarter in their championship game at Mayfield against Mayfield, and they lose Macy Turley, Alexis Burpo, and Lex Mays. You know, come on. I mean, there's no way. But White Faust has done a great job. So they're headed back to the All-A. They have a big trophy, Region 1 championship. They left this morning, and we'll have all the games. If they play all four games, we'll have it. So whatever you have, we'll have that. They start with Danville. But I don't know. I can't hardly underestimate them. I'd have to think among the schools that are going up there, they've got as good a shot as anybody, Blake.
Yeah, we've looked at the bracket, you know, so obviously they play Danville first, and, you know, me and you have talked about it. We expect them to beat Danville. Now, whether they do or not is still yet to be determined. I mean, anything can happen on any game. But I would say Murray's probably a 10 to 12 point favorite over Danville. And then what's looming next would be a matchup more than likely, unless Brown pulls off the craziest upset I've ever seen, is Owensboro Catholic. And Owensboro Catholic, just 13-6 on the season, but you look at some of their losses and you look at the teams they played. Owensboro Catholic's a very good basketball team this year. And, you know, the difference between, because Owensboro Catholic knocked off Callaway earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. The difference between the two teams, though, is Callaway has that one main score. You know, if you can shut down Charlie Settle, you've got a pretty good chance. And that's what Murray High did against them. They were like, we're not going to let Settle beat us. I think she still had 19 points in that game, but you know, you try to shut down Settle as much as you can. Owensboro Catholic did it with quadruple teaming her. They literally put four girls on Settle. Now, with that Murray High team, they spread it around so much. Obviously, Lizzie Curtis is your top scorer, but if you focus all your attention on Curtis, then Mac Turley's going to knock down threes. If you focus on those two, Gearhart's going to knock down threes. Callie Carver has been playing really well in the post for the Tigers as well. And then Parker Greer, Brian Edwards told me this morning, apparently Parker Greer is actually the best percentage three-point shooter that they have on the team.
Wow.
So she only takes good shots from three. So if you're planning on leaving her open, she'll knock it down too.
Mm-hmm.
So this matchup with OCATH is different than the matchup when Callaway played them, because Murray High can beat you from different spots on the floor. They shoot it a little better than Callaway does, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off a win against Owensboro Catholic. I'm not going to say they're favorites in that game, but again, they could easily go in there and knock off OCATH. And then on the horizon, we've looked at it, maybe Metcalf County, but more than likely it'll be Covington Holy Cross that will be the next game for the Tigers. And then on the bottom half of the bracket, Really don't know much about any of them. And like I told you before, you can't really judge any team based off their record, because if you were, Carlisle County is one of the top teams in the state, but you look at their record and look at who they played, they haven't really played much of anybody. I would say Bethlehem sitting there with a 16-2 record. Berea is 18-4. But Walton Verona is the one that stands out to me, because you said that they played before.
Yes.
And Walton Verona, from what I've understood, has perennially been a good basketball team. So I would kind of expect them to make it out of that bottom half.
All right, so we'll be following that. The Murray boys didn't make it. They did get to the championship game, but as expected, Mayfield, the team that won that. So last week, Murray, they had a good week because they beat Hickman County, beat Carlisle County, but lost to Mayfield in the championship. Now it's kind of bizarre because I guess they'd scheduled hoping they would get there. They're off until the 29th of January.
Yeah, good chance for the guys to get some rest. Especially following a 30-point loss to Mayfield. I mean, I figured Murray would give them a run, and they did early on in that game. But, again, it's similar to the Callaway game. They couldn't find any offense outside of Hunter Utley.
And they had a couple of guys that were hurt.
Yeah, Strickland was out.
And another one played hurt, I think. So
yeah, Strickland was out, which is a big loss. And then I think Whitaker was coming back from an injury.
Right.
And
not 100%.
So, you know, obviously, as soon as I saw that Strickland was out, I was like,
yeah.
I remember tweeting to Edwards and saying, eesh, yeah.
They didn't really need it. Not for that game.
They needed him out on the court. But, you know, now they've got a full 10 days worth of practices, which I'll tell you right now, a lot of high school teams don't get that luxury during
You're
the
right.
middle of the season.
You're right.
They don't get a chance to work on these little things and go over the offense. I remember after our long stretch with Callaway going up doing the 2A for up in Hopkins County Central, you know, once both teams had lost, I remember hearing Coach Waller and Coach Cleaver both kind of make the remark along the lines of, well, at least we get a full practice in now before our next game.
Yeah.
As opposed to just a little walkthrough or something. They actually did a full practice in. So I checked in on both those practices. So I got a little sneak peek at what they are planning to insert and install. So, yeah, they've got a full 10 days worth of practices they can get in, and that's a luxury a lot of teams don't get.
Last week, Callaway County went to Caldwell County. I think we were talking about that trip over there. No, I guess they played Monday night, so I already talked about that game. But then they recovered nicely. This is the boys. They beat St. Mary on Friday. And then this week, it's they get Christian Fellowship. They're going to be heavily favored in that one tonight. And then they get a gauntlet of a schedule beginning with the home game against Graves County Friday.
Yeah, just looked at their schedule because, much like a coach, I try to do it one game at a time, know what my next game is, and that's all I care about. But figured out I'd take a peek at the schedule and see what's on the horizon. And you look at the boys, and they have bookmark easy games, and then stacked in the middle is just tough games. Graves County, Mayfield, Murray, McCracken, Marshall, Paducah, Tillman. I mean, that is a tough schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all very good teams here in Region 1. And, I mean, they've got their work cut out for them. But on top of that, this is going to get them prepared. If they can make a little one-game push in district tournament play, they're going to make it to the region championship.
Exactly.
And they've already proven they can knock off Murray. They played toe-to-toe with Marshall the first time around, and now we know that Marshall definitely 100% will be without Harmon.
Yeah.
So it'll be the same team second time around. As long as they can find an answer for Stokes, Callaway could be right in the mix in district play and possibly make it into that region tournament. I don't think they can make a full-on run at the championship. I mean, you've got McCracken, you've got Graves, you've got a lot of really great teams here in Region 1. But, you know, it'd be an accomplishment for this team to at least make the Region 1 tournament.
It would be. Callaway girls, they picked up a win over Caldwell. Then Friday night, I didn't hear any of this, but got the score. And did they play in molasses? What happened? Was it 29-23? And they had, 23 points and 23 turnovers?
Yeah, they lost 38-23.
38-23, all right.
And, that was a game that really shocked me. You know, before the game, I asked Coach Waller, I said, how important is this game? You know, because, I mean, this isn't a district game. This doesn't mean anything for 2A. You know, we're probably going to have a chance at facing them again in the region. So, right. So how important is this game? She says every game's important. For us, this game is a measuring stick. It's a chance for us to finally get back to seeing somebody we're familiar with and see where we're at. You know, because they had taken on Caldwell, Glasgow, minus the Murray game, Hopkins County, Union County. I mean, they played a bunch of teams that were out of their region. Even.
Right.
So teams that we're not necessarily used to playing. We don't know where this team is at. And they came out and just turned the ball over 8 times in the first quarter.
Wow.
And you knew from that point, it's like this: they're playing sloppy. They're going to have to clean this up. And Graves County, I'll tell you what, I made comment of this during the game. You can tell the familiarity between these two teams because Settle, if you've ever watched Settle play, you'll pick up on this one move she does all the time in transition. She'll work her way towards about 3 steps right of center, and she'll cut back left. She does a little crossover to her left. Well, Mathis, I saw this in the first meeting, but again here in the second meeting, every time Settle would try that, Mathis is anticipating that little crossover to the left. So Mathis standing right there and takes away from her every time. It's like Settle is setting it up, and Mathis knows it's coming. Mm-hmm. So that familiarity between opponents, you know, that works against everybody else. But against Graves County and against Murray High, these teams know exactly where she wants to go with that basketball in these transition moments, and they're waiting on it. They steal it away from her, and they had, I think, 14 points off turnovers, which is good for the defense of Callaway because you turn over 23 times and only give up 14 off turnovers. But they were very sloppy with the basketball. It was not a Callaway County basketball game, in my opinion. I mean, 23 turnovers. You literally lost 23 possessions. That's why you only have 23 points.
Yeah, but they haven't had many bad games. You just say, okay, this was a bad one. There hasn't been many this year. This was a bad one.
It was just one of those that it seemed like no matter what they did, nothing was going right for them. There were just turnovers that you don't typically see from Callaway. There was one, Brianna Emery, who's very careful with the basketball, on an inbound play, throws it towards the right wing, and no one's there, and it rolled out of bounds near half court. There was a pass into the corner where I think it was Settle was trying to throw it to Puckett, and as she's throwing it, Puckett's cutting underneath baseline. And so she throws it to nobody. There were several of those moments, too. So it wasn't just, you know, Graves County jumping into passing lanes and whatnot, but overall, Graves played a great defensive game. They really affected Callaway with their pressure, and that's the one thing we've seen with Callaway this year is at times they have struggled with pressure. At other times, they thrive on the pressure, and they get out in the transition. So that's something they're going to have to work on as we get closer to district tournament time and region one play.
The good news is they had a game the next day. They bounced back and beat a really good Madisonville team.
They did, and they came out and they put 55 points on the board, which I think that was their like 4th or 5th most in the season. So a good offensive performance. They, like you said, bounced back really well.
Yeah.
We didn't have that game. We were actually planning on having the boys' game, and then the boys had Warren East cancel on them, and then they had a backup opponent, and then they ended up having the snow call off because they were set to tip at like 6-something.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we ended up not having a game for the boys. But, checked in on the girls and saw that they had gotten the win. And I'm proud to see them getting back on the right track. And now they've got Tillman, and that's tonight. So I won't get to see the girls tonight. My next vision of them will be on Friday whenever they have senior night, and that's against Trigg. But tonight they got Tillman, which they beat 64-30 just after Christmas. So wasn't that long ago that they absolutely drubbed them. The boys have the same thing. They're playing Christian Fellowship tonight, which I will have that one, but that was a 70-29 game. And I don't remember it being that bad.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I remember Callaway winning it by, you know, handily, but I didn't realize it was a 70-29 final. Like, you just don't remember it that way because as dominant as that final score is, Callaway didn't seem to be dominating that game at any point. Because Christian Fellowship, I remember looking at it, they put up 45 shots in that game.
And they have a decent record this year, too, 7-10. Not a terrible. I mean, they've had some years where they struggled to get 4 or 5 wins, and this year they've, I think, 7-10 or something like that.
Well, I've actually got them at 3-16.
See, all right, I must have looked at the wrong thing then.
Yeah.
You had the girls.
But still, they put up 45 shots, and I remember they didn't take any bad shots. They just couldn't knock those down.
Right.
They went 9 of 45 from the field, so And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correct, let's see, they seven of their nine made shots were 3-point shots.
Right.
So that's why they even got the points they got. So Callaway did a great job defensively on them by forcing those shots, you know. But still, it didn't seem like a 70-29 win, at least not to me.
Let's talk a little bit about the region at large. On the boys' side, right now, McCracken County, Graves County, Mayfield look like the clear-cut top three teams. Am I wrong on that?
No, that's pretty much it. My leanings, I mean, I think McCracken County has probably the most talent, but I kind of want to lean towards saying Graves County is the Region 1 favorite, simply because they have all of the experience you could ever want. They start five seniors. They have a sixth man that's a senior that comes off the bench. Graves County has, you know, this opportunity this year. If they don't make that run this year, next year they're back into rebuild mode, because they're going to have a bunch of guys coming in, much like Callaway this year, where they don't have any experience. They're going to have to work their way into that varsity lineup, work their way into knowing how to play at the varsity level. So Graves County has this year and this year only to make that run. I don't see them making a rebound next year. Of course, didn't talk about Mayfield, but Mayfield is a very tough out. But unless they're all three on the same side, you're only going to get a matchup between two of these teams.
That's right.
So if you're Graves County, you're probably hoping you get Mayfield, because you've played Mayfield. You're a familiar opponent, and you hope somebody else can knock off McCracken. But more than likely, McCracken's in your championship game, and I think Graves County's in your championship game, unless they're on that same side of the bracket, which we won't know until, I guess, after the district tournaments happen.
On the girls' side, Murray, Callaway, Marshall, Graves. I mean, you could put Carlisle in the mix because of their record, although I still don't see them in the top four, even though they have as good a record as anybody else. To me, it's Murray, Callaway, Marshall, Graves among the top contenders as of right now.
100%. So, obviously, District 4, all three of those teams. But like we've said before, only two of those get to go.
That's
so bad. So only two of those teams are going to make it to the Region 1 tournament, which is good for everybody else, because somebody else is going to get an opportunity to play that dark horse, to be the underdog. And I'm still not a believer in Carlisle County either. Right now, if I had to pick, I would say that it'll be Murray and Callaway that's going to make it into the region tournament, just because, as of right now, Marshall doesn't have a win. But that's not to say that Marshall can't win against Callaway in the next game, and then beat Murray in the next game, and then all of a sudden they're 2-2.
Right.
So, I mean, this district's so open. And then, obviously, Graves, perennially good. This year, what they're missing on offense, they've made up for on defense. They're actually a better defensive team this year than they were last year. They really do struggle offensively, though, and I think that's going to be their downfall. Callaway's the same way. They've struggled offensively at times this year. But I think Callaway has that once-in-a-lifetime style player that can change that for you. Their first meeting, she had 31 points. Second meeting, they held her to, I think, 11 points, and she fouled out of the game. I mean, I haven't seen Charlie Settle foul out of a game since last year. I mean, it's been a while, because she knows how important she is to that team. But, you know, it's going to come down to which team can put up the offense, because all of those teams play excellent defense week in and week out.
And Monday, we'll know the next show. The time we do the next show, they have the state tournament draw. They'll have that Monday for both boys and girls, so we will know what Region 1 will play in both the boys and girls tournament as of Monday afternoon.
Well, hopefully we don't have a situation like last year where we saw the girls from Murray High were basically going to play Mercer. I mean, we knew that before the tournaments were even over.
There is no super team, though, this year.
Right.
There are a lot of good teams, but there is no Mercer. There's no Mercer County.
Right.
That's like, oh, hell, we probably aren't going to have a great chance to win this one. But if you do. So there isn't that team. Now, on the boys' side, there's, to me, Scott County and John Hardin, they're the two teams that are like, outliers. It's like, wow, you don't want either of those, but you know, everyone else you might have a shot at. But those are two you want to stay away from.
Yeah, and you told me the other day that John Harden, I mean, they're undefeated right now, but you told me that it's been how many years?
1948, Brewers Redmen.
That's the last time a team went undefeated in boys basketball.
Yes.
And John Harden just won the 2A tournament, so they played the top teams in 2A, continued to be undefeated, and knocked off Glasgow, which I saw in person is a very good basketball team. They are long, they're athletic, and they had a guy that could absolutely just take over a basketball game, and John Harden knocked them off. So I'm impressed with John Harden without even seeing a full game of theirs. And then, of course, Scott County has been the number one team since day one. And probably will continue to be number one. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little John Harden versus Scott County at some point in the tournament.
Could be, but it could be in the opening game.
That could
very well
be.
That's the thing about Kentucky. They actually looked this past year at coming up with a seeding way of
making their own RPI system. Yeah.
They're looking at it, but it's not happening anytime like next year or anything.
Well, that'd be a great game if that happens in the opening round.
But they did make a change for football at last week's Board of Control meeting. We'll go ahead and talk about this, that your playoffs next year, instead of going into the other district, they're in your own district. So you play 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3 in your own district.
Really?
Next year, then they will reseed it after the first couple of rounds.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, so that is a change that they've made.
Well, so that would mean that, like this past year, for instance, Cali would not have made a trip to Franklin Simpson.
Exactly. They've cut down on the travel. For one thing, it's useless.
Instead, they would have played Madisonville North Hopkins.
Whoever your 4 seed is, one. If they're
one
the 4,
was Madison. And what ended up happening is Callaway lost to Franklin Simpson, and then Madisonville North Hopkins took on Franklin Simpson and played them tight. I mean, that was the closest that any team was to Franklin Simpson as they went on to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
But Madisonville North Hopkins played them the closest. I think they lost to them by 2.
So they made some changes. They didn't make the change they need to make, which is to get rid of 6 classes and go to 4 and let the top 2 teams only get in.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do, but, you know.
We're going to keep sending 4 teams, even in a 3 or 4 team district.
Yeah. To me, if you're 0-10, I mean, I'm sorry. You got to play football. That's awesome. But you don't need to go to the playoffs if you're 0-10.
I remember seeing the thing as football season was ending where it was like 19 teams in Kentucky will play their last game of the season tonight. 120 or so will continue on. And it's like, how are only 19 eliminated from the playoffs after?
The top two, I like the top two because you have a chance. If you have a couple of key injuries maybe early in the season, then you get healthy and you're really good, you get a chance. I like that.
Yeah.
But the old, we're 0-10, now let's get to the playoffs. Come on. Don't.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before with Callaway. I mean, essentially, the game against Hopkins County Central is a playoff game. You win that one and you're in. You're the 4 seed. That's all it takes. Win one district game, you're into the playoffs. So you win the game against the weakest team in your district and you're automatically in the playoffs.
There you go.
You could go 1-10 or 1-9, but you beat Hopkins County Central.
That's right.
You're in.
Yeah. So we still have that, but at least the travel's been cut back. So that's good. And that'll happen for the first 2 weeks, and they'll do something else.
I guess. I think Madison North Hopkins just as far as Franklin Simpson was.
Yeah, that may be. Most of the time, but I know one time, Fulton City, they had to go to, like, I don't know, near Lexington to play their first round.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was insane.
Wow.
All right, Blake, appreciate it. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll talk about your work in the Murray State game a little bit this week with Belmont.
I will not see the boys against Graves on Thursday this week. Instead, I will get a chance to watch Ja Morant play, and I'll get to work with Seth Greenberg, Seth on Hoops.
All right. The Morant kid, I hear, is pretty good. So
that's what I hear.
You'll get a chance to see him up
Maybe
close.
He'll dunk on somebody.
Make do it. All right. We'll see you tomorrow with Ed Marlowe.
All right.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.